This is Christy Grainer, and I want to welcome you to the Dare to Believe podcast, where we are interviewing some of our friends about how they have dared to believe God in their life for great things and how He has been faithful to them. We want to challenge you to dare to believe God in your life. Welcome to the Dare to Believe podcast. We're here with Rebecca Ribnick and myself, Christy Grainer, and we have a great guest today. Rebecca, want to tell them who we've got with us?
Now we're here on the road with our mobile studio with the one, the only, Mr. Danny Silk. Thank you so much, Danny, for coming in.
Hello, ladies. How are you?
Good.
Good. Welcome to Minneapolis.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me. It's good to be here in one piece.
We're keeping the snow away for the weekend.
Oh, I heard it was snowing outside today.
No, did it?
No, we rebuked that.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was cold out there this morning.
It was
cold. It was cold.
But it was pretty.
Yeah.
You like the autumn in Minnesota.
It's so beautiful. Yeah.
So, Danny, we are so grateful that you came and did the Loving on Purpose conference here in Minnesota.
Yeah.
We just love what you're
Thanks for all your help in our region.
It's
really been great.
And we truly see a difference with what you release through your life. Mm. With relationships in the body of Christ and also outside the body of Christ. Are you finding that you're having an impact outside the Christian church, or is it mainly Christians who are coming
to? I think that is my main influence. My main momentum is in the church, but everybody in the church goes out and has contact. So school systems, the business leaders and business world people, some government places, but around the world, really, I mean, most the separation between church and secular is pretty stark. And so everybody that's doing anything that doesn't work in a church is in the public sector. And that's exactly what they're bringing.
But people are hearing about you all over the place. Last year when you were here, you told a story, or maybe it was before you were here a little while ago, but your brother took you like way up to Alaska or something.
I took him.
You took him. Okay. Yes. And you were way up in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, we were. We got to the, we were 200 miles inside the Arctic Circle.
Oh.
We drive up to the edge of this river, and there are two airboats that are waiting for us to unload these two trucks. And they're taking our names, and they're asking for our hunting licenses and everything. And so we have our faces covered, you know, just eyes, basically the wind's blowing. This lady says, Danny Silk? I said, yes. I mean, she goes, like, the Danny Silk? I said, well, maybe. And, like, loving our kids on purpose and culture of honor? I said, yes, ma'am. She goes, oh, I can't believe you're here. And my brother looks at me. He goes, I cannot believe this is happening.
That's
everywhere
awesome.
I go with you.
So yeah. It's really fun, actually, especially with the brother.
He's hilarious.
So the Lord gets the word out about you to whoever needs it, right?
It is amazing.
Well, one of my questions I have for you is, so what are you excited about in your own life? Like, what is something, because we're dare to believe, are you daring to believe God, and is that expectation kind of growing in your heart for where He's moving, either personally, but then also corporately in the body?
I think, you know, my own personal life is about to undergo a pretty massive redesign, you know, just how I happen. And so transitioning from being an itinerant conference speaker is really being morphed into being a business consultant and working with mid-size and large-size corporations, because they are families. They are filled with human dynamics, and generally, I think businesses, especially large businesses, are making a social impact. They're they're making an economic impact on their community. They're making a cultural impact by how they lead and what it is that they emphasize. Mm-hmm. And so it's in a sense, it's like just working again with what I've been doing, which is working with church leaders and their cultures and then their people. I just am going to shift over and do a whole lot more from home. and knock this ridiculous travel thing way down, mm-hmm. way down.
Yeah.
I noticed you talked at the conference about William Branham and what he did to himself and kind of burned himself out totally.
Totally.
And so you learned from his mistake.
Well, I have a bunch of friends that still do this, and they're in their mid to late 60s. You know, they're 10 years ahead of me, and I'm watching them, and I'm just thinking, this is unsustainable. This is such a... I don't want to be 70 years old and having to travel.
Yeah.
You know? Ooh. So I'm in my mid-50s, and I'm taking, you know, wisdom nuggets out of the... Mm-hmm. What I see going on around me.
So that's exciting though, because it's reinventing what life has looked like for you, and you actually have to trust the Lord again in a new way, in a new place.
I have to dare to believe that I can actually be as effective in a business culture as I have been in a church culture. Mm-hmm. It's taken me a couple years really to adjust in my thinking, because I've been so, almost 30 years I've been in the church, and I'm scared. I'm scared of this transition because I have no momentum, you know, so I'm giving up all this momentum to hop over here. Yeah. And I think the same thing happened when I left Weaverville to go to Bethel. Same thing happened. I gave up all that momentum. You know, I have all the Weaverville momentum.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm risking it all on the Bethel momentum, you know, or Bethel opportunity. While I was at Bethel, I shifted out of family life and went over to HR and was working with the staff development. And that was a scary time. And then leaving Bethel and going with Jesus Culture to Sacramento and reinventing ourselves there. And that's really where Loving on Purpose got a lot of attention from us. So this feels like one more big dare to believe that this is actually going to, you know, once again, he's going to catch me.
Yeah.
And we're gonna develop something that feels very significant.
Yeah. He's faithful, and every time you step out and believe him.
Yeah.
Although it doesn't make the transitions that simple and seamless, because you have to let go of everything you have to trust him and grab onto his next thing for you.
Yeah, yeah. It's getting out of the boat and walking on the water, feels like.
But your whole, from what I know of your history, it's been one big dare to believe after another, hasn't it?
Yes.
I mean, did you ever, ever in your wildest dreams...
No.
Think you'd be doing what you're doing today?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. I graduated high school with a 0.865 grade point average.
You graduated.
I graduated. I'm not sure if that's a D- or F+, but they let me graduate.
Wow.
And I didn't read a book until I was 26 years old.
Seriously, 26.
The first book I ever read was in my second year of junior college.
You got through 1 year of junior college without reading a book?
Well, I only took one class, and it was really up my alley. I didn't have to, but as soon as I got into full-time junior college, I had to read a book, and it was Hello, Mr. Dibbs, about an abused child, you know, and it was just I had no idea that this was in a book. This is fantastic. This is, I'm a slow reader, you know, so I just slugging it out. It takes such a swath of time to read a book. So, I thought I was not a very smart person for a very long time. And,
really?
And I had a high school teacher that I had a couple classes, you know, as I was going through my high school career, and best 9 years of my life, no. and Mr. Dunch, and he told me, you know, I was struggling through math, struggling through reading, and I remember him sitting with me and saying, you know, Danny, there's something special about you.
Wow.
Don't give up.
I love that. Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
And so when I got my master's degree with a 375,
come on,
married, three kids,
mm-hmm.
I drove back up to Weaverville to show him my
wow.
That is my very diploma. Cool. That's yeah. the power of encouragement.
And just give him a hug truth. And say thanks.
Wow.
Thanks for believing in me, however many years ago that was.
I bet that blessed him as well.
It did. It was totally, you know, it was a moment.
Because for him, it's the power of what he's able to release too. You know, as a teacher, you don't get a whole lot of thanks.
It's just,
you know?
I'm sure you've had other students at some point, but that's what you work for. You know, yeah. You just work for changed lives.
Cool.
Long-term investment.
Yeah.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah, and then all the lives that he's changed through me, you know. Yeah. Like, I have so many people that I just go back to and say, I want you to know you get a lot of credit for my life. Thank you.
That's very cool.
Mm-hmm.
And have you had people come and do that to you?
Well, Katie Ann is on the stage right uh-huh. now, and Katie Ann's one of them. You know, she's, we've known her for about 16 years, and to see her up there, that's the first time I've ever seen her teach.
Oh, wow.
You know, first time I've ever heard her speak. And I just knew that she had it. I just knew that she could do it, and she was hilarious. She was just such a character. So her with children, it was just like seriously. And so she's teaming up with Britt up there, you know. So yeah, I get it all the time.
And your daughter is doing what you're doing.
She's the leader of the family arm of what we do. She and her husband Ben are doing it. You know, they started their family coaching, so people from all over the world can, you know, access what we've invested in them, and they are just absolute stars of mm-hmm. family. They're yeah. doing a great job.
Well, so good.
We're grateful for what you've done because yeah. we see the fruit of it all over the place,
yeah.
over and over and over again.
It's just amazing to get to do what you love to do.
Yeah.
And you made a good point. We had a dinner here the other night, and you said, how many of you have taken physics, and how many of you have taken this and that and that, and yeah. how many of you have taken a long-term class on relationships and how to do relationships well, and no one raised their hand.
Yeah.
And this is a room full of leaders.
Yeah. How many of you learned to talk to another human?
Right.
Yeah. How many of you learned how to love someone and protect yeah. that connection? No. Yeah. No training at all.
Wow.
Absolute ignorance. People are launched out into the world more equipped to know Minnesota history than they are about how to do a marriage.
Yeah. Yeah. So important stuff. How can people be praying for you as they listen to this and they want to pray for you through the next transition? Anything specific you would love people who love and respect you to be praying for you?
Just about the transition, and I need a strategy. I need wisdom. I need favor, and some momentum.
Yeah, I heard a wise guy say, wise man. say, just follow the favor. That changed me tremendously because I, as a female in ministry, I was always trying to make up for what people didn't want from me and explain to them why they could have it from me and they would be blessed by it. Yeah. And I wore myself out trying to do that. And I heard you preach once and you said, just follow the favor.
Mm.
I'm like, wow, what a concept.
Mm.
And I started to do that and it changed a lot.
Wow.
So thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, well, it's true. It's so much easier to float your boat down the river than to carry it through the trees.
Amen. You know? Amen.
That's a good word right there. I feel like so many lives can be changed on just that.
Yeah, exactly.
The brick walls that you hit up against.
And you feel like you have to. Like, yeah. What a silly thing. Yeah. Why do we feel like we have to make everybody like us or accept us? And,
Yeah.
So if people want to connect with your ministry, we want to respect your time, but yeah. what was the best way for them to connect with you and with your team?
Well, lovingonpurpose.com is the fastest way to, you know, find us. And then there's the DannySilkConsulting.com coming your way, you know.
Okay. That's wow.
Yep, so...
So are you looking for Christian businesses or not necessarily?
It'd probably start with that for sure.
Owned, you know, by
that's
Christians,
probably where my favor is.
Right.
My favor is probably
exactly.
right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think it'll be a word of mouth kind of deal, and mm-hmm. people will be recommending, you know, just because of the results that people get from building a culture of honor in their
yeah.
business.
Yeah,
and that's
absolutely.
Really what we'll be doing.
And that it can be successful and fruitful, and you can treat people with honor at the same time. That's not a common business strategy or philosophy.
Yeah, it's just it's uncommon to have culture of honor in your family.
Right.
You know, because you just don't understand what it is. You think it's something you get.
Yeah.
And something instead of something you lead in, other people get it.
Right.
And it's tough to make that shift when you have all the responsibility and all the authority, and yet, and then how do I surround myself with powerful people and not feel threatened?
Yeah.
And so all the journey of growing in love and value and empowering other people, and then realizing, wow, why did I wait so long to surround myself with powerful people to help carry this enormous load?
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Awesome.
Well, would you be willing to pray for anybody listening, just that for a blessing of what you carry on their life?
Yep. Sure. Well, Lord, we ask you to show people their favor, that people would begin to have eyes that are looking for places where you are already at work, and that we can join with you, that we can see your hand on our life. You can there's so much ease in what we do in that area. There's so much so many open doors. Every time I go over there, there's a door open. I don't know why I, you know, I Lord, help us to see that you've built us for certain results, and help us to see where we're working against our favor, and where we actually have such an ease waiting for us. And Lord, we pray that you just bless people with peace and joy and wisdom for your glory, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank Amen. You, Danny.
Thank you so
All right.
much, Danny.
Blessings.
Well,
blessings on your next
yes.
venture.
Yeah. Yep. Well, thank you very much.
Well, hello and welcome to the Dare to Believe podcast. I'm Christy Grainer, and I'm here with Rebecca Rybnik.
Hey, Christy.
And Rebecca, we're excited about who we've had on podcast today.
Oh, we are so honored and excited about this one.
So why do you think this woman is amazing?
Where do I begin? We're sitting with someone who embodies the like God can make anything happen attitude and reality, who has taken her lumps and has every reason to not be who she is today from a worldly standpoint, but has believed God for great things and is continuing to believe God for great things. Someone who's very inspiring to me, but also very real. Someone I'm honored to spend a little time with, and thank you for making the trip, Miss
yeah.
Sherry Silk. Thank
so
you.
So good to be here.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
So welcome to Minnesota, Sherry.
It's good to be here.
It's yeah.
Good.
We're both
It's not
cold.
Quite, yeah. It's cold, but it gets worse. So just be encouraged. You're out here at the worst part.
We'll leave tomorrow and go back to sunny California.
You have a guest room? Or
yes.
Well, thank you for being here, Sherry.
Yeah.
We love the conference and what you guys have done okay. and are doing with Loving on Purpose. This is the fifth of five mm-hmm. summits that you've done this year, is
yeah,
that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yes. So it's been a big year.
Mm-hmm.
Lots
it's
going on.
It's been fun. This is the last one.
Okay, well, we're yeah. grateful that we got to be part of this. And we love listening to you give your stories
yeah.
and how you have so, you probably have volumes of books you could write mm-hmm. on how you've believed God and how he's been faithful.
Yeah.
But we wanted to pull out a couple main stories. And so you grew up in Northern California.
Yes,
and tell us how yeah. you even first knew that God mm-hmm. cared about you and chose to believe what people told you about God.
Some folks will think this is a commercial for a kid's summer camp or winter camp, but when I was 12, I went to a winter camp. I had this crazy Christian friend that she's still my friend today. She's a radical, but she invited me to go to winter camp when I was 12. So I went with her, and they asked me if I wanted to get saved, and I didn't really know what it was, so I said, sure. And I did the prayer. I said the prayer. And I remember even as a young girl being in my bed at night and praying and saying, God, if you're real, then give me a sign. And I remember waking up to this crash noise in the night. And I remember waking up thinking, okay, that was my sign. You know, that little girl, simple. And of course, I never walked with Jesus at all after that. I remember that. So when I was about 21, I had spent a lot of time from the age of about 14 or 15 to that point in my life just doing a bunch of really crazy stuff. I have six brothers. They're all wild. Some of them were in trouble a lot. I had a pretty rough childhood with my parents and their stuff, and kind of an angry stepfather and all that bit. And was in survival mode most of my life, and a very feisty individual, so I would normally not back down from any fight. I would just come out swinging. I was kicked off the cheerleading squad for fighting. I just wanted to really be in control. That's what I, because fear would overcome me if I wasn't in charge. So I came to a point in my life where I had been very promiscuous. I had been doing drugs. I owned a gym. So I was
a gym.
Yes, my parents had, you know, resources, and they helped me co-sign on the loan, and I opened up the first gym.
At what age?
I was 21.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I was 20 when I started it. And so at this point, I am teaching aerobics. I'm an instructor for step class. I'm doing the whole bit, and I'm still doing cocaine. I'm wow. still taking, you know, speed, and so I'm in this health industry, but I am just not living it at all. Drinking all the time, horrible relationships. You know, in relationships with abusive kind of guys, and I'm just a mess. And so I remember, actually, I had a spa in my gym, you know, in a shower and all that. And I remember holding my breath one time, going under the water, and the bubbles were blowing in. And I remember thinking, I feel like I have a buffer on my life right now. I can't hear the noise of crazy in my life. And I remember just trying to survive. And I thought, what am I going to do? Mm. And then I remembered this little church that I went to when I was 12.
The place that you went to camp.
The place I went to camp. Huh. And I thought, well, maybe I should just go to church. Maybe church is what. And I am the of all my friends, you know, they would all want me on their team, right? I'm the sailor trash talker. I'm the, you know, gruff one. And so I'm like, well, maybe I need to go to church. So I get up on a Sunday morning, and I go to this little church in Weaverville, which is, well, at the time was called Calvary Chapel, but it was Mountain Chapel later. And there was this pastor there. His name was Bill Johnson. I'd never heard of him, and I've never seen Bill and Benny before in my life. I've actually seen him around town later, realized later, but I sat there through the sermon, and at the very end he asked if anyone would like to be saved, and I raised my hand, and that was pretty much it for me. Not only did I get saved that day, I really was adopted. I felt like I that adopted in the Lord, like I had a whole other family that I didn't even know was possible. And I had a pretty good relationship with my mom, and she came to church one day, and I was so worried that what she was going to think, because at that time it was really radical to just raise your hands in church during worship. It was really, that was a big deal. And I thought maybe she was going to be offended, but when the music started and people started praising the Lord, she put her hands up as well. Aww. And that became our church. And that is where Danny and I met. He actually got saved probably 30 days later. On his own, in his own story, he made his way because he had met Chris Valentin. So the only church he knew to go to was Chris's church, which happened to be where Bill was. And so my life radically changed that day. And it's not like I didn't flounder for a little bit, 6 months or so, trying to figure this out. But I really never looked back. And my friends just thought I fell off the deep end. Sure. Because I went from such an extreme. And they kept thinking it was going to wear off. They kept thinking, you know, if it's going to change.
The old Sherry's going to
come back.
Going to come
back. And I remember later in life having conversations with them. And I probably could have done it better. They felt a little ditched. Like, I just stopped.
Sure. Yeah.
And I said, you know, you guys were partying a little bit. I was on a trek to just die young. You guys were, you know, goofing around, and then you got married and kids, and your life went on. I was not on that projectile. I was on the my brothers, which was drug addicts, alcohol and drugs, and prison. I mean, that's the trek that some of my brothers chose, jail and all those things. So that, I said, I know you missed me, but I couldn't be around you and not be that girl. And I needed to not be her anymore. I needed to change my life. So I just circled myself around, you know, all these people that poured into me. And back then, Bill and Benny were very available. And I would literally get up, go to work, go to their house about 11 o'clock at night, or however when they put the... I was there for dinner. They put the kids to bed, watching a TV or whatever, the movie we were watching. They love films and... And then I would go home, go to bed, get up, go to work, go to their house. And they just...
And they welcomed you.
They just let me come in and help me change my life. I had never seen a family like them. I had never met anyone that yelling, screaming, everybody's mad, and you never know what's going to happen at any second. You know, someone's going to just fly off the handle. That's what I saw at home. And so when I witnessed them, I just thought, I am on Mars.
Yeah, yeah.
But then before too long, you realize, well, that's how a whole bunch of other families are living in this environment. And even, you know, Danny and I's story, we got married and dealt with some really hard stuff for a long time. Because we got saved and saw people living it, we didn't know how to do it.
Mm-hmm. That's a big difference.
Yes, it is a big difference. So, which is why we're so passionate about what we do now.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it was a great journey. And I remember saying to Bill when I got saved, you know, I'm afraid to say yes, because I'm afraid if God really knows who I am, He won't accept me and He'll leave me like most every other significant, at least man, in my life. And Bill's just like, that's not who He is. He won't leave you. And so my life changed that day for sure.
They taught you what that really looks like.
Yeah, they did.
And it stuck.
Yep, they would be one of the first phone calls I would make today if I was in trouble. So
that's really cool.
They're not old enough to be my parents, but too bad. I'm adopted. I'm grafted in.
That's wonderful. And you're releasing that breakthrough all over the world. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that is fun.
Yeah.
So just a question on that. You touched on something I think is so great, and that is that just you had a hunger for what this family dynamic was and what this life of peace and kingdom life, really, and the family setting could look like, but you didn't have the skills or the tools. Mm-hmm. What do you say to someone who says, I know that I want that, but I don't know how to get there? Where would you lead them?
Well, if nothing changes, nothing changes. So if you don't start changing and doing something different, then you'll just keep living that same life. So you have to, even for us, Bill and Benny were doing it, they were modeling it, but they didn't really give us tools, you know, this is how you talk, or this is how you set a boundary, or this is, they modeled it, but we still had to work it out. So I tell people all the time is, you know, if a child stopped growing, we would do everything we could to figure out why is this child not growing. But we get in these adult bodies and we think, oh, I'm an adult. Well, you've got to keep growing. And you can't just be settling for where you are in your life. So read some books, or nowadays it's podcasts or sermons, and and get in, surround yourself with people that are cheering you on, and that, you know, you're cheering them on, and you're in this positive environment, and figure out all the places in your life that aren't bringing you life and reduce those as fast as you can. We're all going to be giving ourselves to people that need us, but we can't always be in the place where we're not growing and we're only giving and we're not learning ourselves. So yeah, read stuff and talk to people, get counseling. There's Sozo Ministry and Inner Healing, but there's also counseling, and it is mm-hmm. legit, and it really does help. So I would suggest that for people as well.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then you went on to serve in Weaverville and serve in Reading, mm-hmm. and then you stepped out and took a business risk. Talk about daring to believe God every step of those ways.
Yes.
Those are big stories in themselves. But what you did at the Civic Center is phenomenal. So can you talk about that a little
yeah.
bit?
Yeah. It's probably one of the greatest honors in my life. If I look back at some of the things I've done, it was such a privilege for me to be part of that whole thing. And so what was happening is, I was working at Bethel, overseeing about 10 departments, and they all, about 8 of them, did events as a normal part of their life. And the city of Reading was in trouble with their convention center. They were going in the hole by like $1.8 million a year, and they were going to close the doors of this building. And it is the largest building in Northern California for concerts or events.
Wow.
And this, not only do they have big concerts go through, they also have, it is used all the time by the community. It is their building. They own it, the city of Reading. But they were not able to keep it up. It was in trouble. It was just getting old, and so they were going to shut it down. So Bethel Church was one of the top renters of that building for their larger events. And so they got so much pushback that the city decided to put it out for bid to see if someone wanted to manage it for them. And so Bethel Church jumped on it. Chris Valton he's the entrepreneur, risk taker. And he was like, let's buy it. And we were like, I don't think we're supposed to buy it. It belongs to the people of Reading. What should we do, you know? And at the time, I was running these departments and loving my job, but I had this internal something, like I want to get out in the community. Mm-hmm. So I was just, I didn't know how. I just knew I needed to get ready. So when you say, you know, dare to believe, I was like, Lord, if there's some way for me to get outside the walls of the church, it's really where I want to have some time ministering. So this whole thing came up about the convention center, and the Bethel Church put in a bid, and there was one of 3 bids, and it's the one that the city chose, because it was the only bid that the city didn't have to supplement it.
Oh.
So our plan was, we'll put the school ministry over there so we could grow it, because Bethel was tapped out at that point. And we could grow the school ministry, and they could rent it for the weekdays, and then it would still be open on the weekends to run any other event in the city. And so after a wild time, a lot of the community people were scared that a church is going to manage this beloved building. Separation of church and state. It was in the paper. It was on the news. It was everywhere. There was a lot of heat around it.
It was, yeah.
And so we came to this point where we needed to find a manager for this building. So the senior team's meeting, and they're discussing, you know, should we hire someone from the outside, bring him in, who should we get? And that beating in my chest of, oh gosh, is this that opportunity? And so I kind of raised my hand, you know, kind of like, I'll go to Mordor, you know.
Maybe.
and everybody kind of stopped talking and looked at me, and Chris goes, you mean that? I said, I do. I would do it. I would go do it. And Charlie Harper says, I feel really good about that. And Steve DeSilva's like, Sherry's one of the best managers we have. It was just this relief over them, like, okay, it's someone from the inside that we trust.
Sure.
And I, you know, I always tell people, you know, your destiny is out there. It's as far as you can see, but it's an endless thing in God. There's just so much that he has for you, but we can't see it all the time. And we're on this journey and we get discouraged or we get impatient, when really there is a time when your journey and your destiny collide. And all the things I had been learning about running departments and helping with events and all those management skills that I picked up along the way, all of a sudden were part of this destiny that God had for me. So I jumped over there, worked so many hours. I mean, I had to stop emailing people at 2 a.m. because they would worry about me. You know, like, why are you doing emails at 2 a.m? I was so excited, though. I mean, I was just going to take on this challenge and win this city over.
Come on.
And so me and my team went to every board meeting of anyone that had rented that building the prior 3 years. So we just got a list, and we just went to every single one of those leaders' meetings. I joined business clubs and started hanging out with individuals. And to this day, those relationships are intact. And, you know, we turned the building around. We turned the business around. Bethel Church has dumped, like, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of dollars into that building, making it better.
Which is still belongs to the community, not to Bethel.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's right. So Bethel, we formed a public benefit nonprofit called Advance Reading. So it was run through that nonprofit. And Bethel Church rented it and donated money to take care of it. And then it was a 5-year lease with our option to release it, remanage it for 5 more, and they're probably in year 7 now, and the city is already begging them to never give it back, to be managed wow. by them, because Bethel and that team has done such an incredible job. And it really, what happened is it built a bridge out of the church into the community, because prior to that, we were doing things, wonderful things for the community, but all of a sudden you could see that we were helping beyond the orphans and widows kind of typical mm-hmm. church work. It was actual business, entrepreneurial, change the city, the economic structure, and it create now this bridge is built, and Bethel just freely walks on it now. They've been asked to, the city asked Bethel's graphic department if they would redo all the logos, all the signs, you know, all over the city, if they would design the signage for the city. They've asked Bethel TV to film their State of the City by the Mayor event. There's just all this stuff going on because of the excellence of Bethel. But it was a risk to jump in there.
For sure.
I did not know anything about running a venue. I didn't know how to get a hold of anyone that might want to have a concert there. I'd never talked to promoters in my life. I jumped in there. I think one of the things about women is we do collaborate. We run in flocks.
It comes, yeah.
And sure. And so it didn't scare me to ask people, you know, I can't do this, can you do it, or what do you think about that? And all the signs pointed to that I should be really afraid, but I knew that the Lord was with me, and I knew that I had a team with me, and we just did it. So it was fun.
That's
I
awesome.
Had a great time.
So
and you did it for how many years were you in charge?
I did it for 2.5 years. And Danny says I have a 3-year cycle. I get bored. He always tells me, Sherry gets bored about 2 years in because she needs some more problems to solve. And I really had...
You got it running well.
I got it running, and I was looking for the next thing. And then I started working for Jesus Culture and did the same thing.
So then you guys moved to Sacramento.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
And managed the Jesus Culture. That's and I'm crazy. About 2 years into helping Danny at Loving on Purpose, so he's looking for some more problems he can give me so that I don't,
I don't get bored.
Yeah. Wow. That's cool. I love that story. I was living in Reading then. That was my first year we moved over to the Civic Center.
Yeah.
And from when I went to Reading until 5 years later when I left, the community attitude towards Bethel had completely shifted.
Yeah.
And it was such, there's this trust that was built. It wasn't the scary church on the hill.
Yeah.
You know, cut off from everybody, but there was an excellence and an honor that Bethel and the culture of the people there were, they were unafraid to bring with them mm-hmm. into the city and unafraid of things that look offensive to the religious spirit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you did, thank you so much for leading that charge and giving us something to stand on and something I can look at in my own life and hold to and be like, wait, that's, I can actually honor this person, even though I completely disagree.
Yeah.
I can still honor and serve them and come with the excellence that I carry, make them look like a genius and open up doors instead of close them.
Yes. And we're so afraid sometimes that we're going to get something, if we're going to run around with people that disagree with us and are different than us, and that something's going to happen to us, when really we get to bring the kingdom mm-hmm. and encourage them. And because the best way to influence someone is through relationship, mm-hmm. not from afar, not from, you know, saying you should do this or that, or I disagree with this and that, but to come close to them and get, you know, heart to heart connected, and then you get to influence. They get to influence you, and you get to influence them.
Exactly. You it earned the right to influence in a very real way. And what I see, you know, when you guys teach loving on purpose and how to do relationships, you made a breakthrough in that in a major way for both you and Danny, and you're releasing it all over the world. But in that instance, you took those precepts and those philosophies of Christianity and influenced and kept your love on with a city, a community that wasn't very loving to you at the time. No. It was pretty nasty.
Oh, yeah, it was.
And mean, but you kept your love on, and you kept, I mean, it's not that you were a doormat, but you can't imagine Sherry Silk ever being a doormat. But
they cried.
But it can't have been easy, but yet you chose to believe what you knew about how to relate with people, and you did it with a community, which is amazing.
Yeah, it was fun. You don't have to have all the details worked out. You just got to say yes.
Yeah,
so good. And that's what I felt, what I learned was my courage came on the other side of yes.
Yeah.
I didn't get all this courage and then go do it. I mean, I was tenacious to say yes, but I didn't have the details worked out and didn't know what I was doing half the time.
But that's where you dared to believe.
Yeah.
Because you did believe God put you there, and God had a reason for you to be there. So it's not, I mean, it is your problem, but it's not your problem, because if he put you there, he will back you up, and he will tell you what to do, and he did. He was faithful to do that on a very large scale. Which is amazing. Cool. Well, we want to respect your time, but would you pray a blessing over our listeners?
Before that, what's the best way for people to get a hold of what you guys are doing, some of the resources and tools that you're talking about earlier?
Yeah, everything's, if you go to lovingonpurpose.com, everything is there, you know, our online school and family coaching, and all the materials are there to purchase and learn, and they can just go there.
All right. So we'll have you bless the listeners.
Absolutely.
With all that you carry, just Sherry, I think that no matter what life has held for you, that you have a destiny. I love what you said, your destiny and your path, your journey. Yeah, because I think people find that hard to understand, and it's scary then if you don't really believe that that's going to happen for you.
Yeah. Lord, we just pray right now that you work out the details, and we just trust in you. And I just pray for everyone listening that they would have the courage to step forward and keep moving forward and not look at all the failures, but look at God and see that He's more than capable where you're not capable. And he'll take care of stuff that you're worried about, and you don't have to bring that. You can reduce your anxiety because he's there for you. God, I pray for an overcomer spirit of all the things that try and come against us, either people that are just saved or just learning. And I pray for an overcomer spirit that people truly would feel adopted in, grafted into the body of Christ. And that will come with strength, because you're strong. So I just pray a blessing over everyone that's listening, and I just pray for fun ideas of how to influence their communities and how to jump in and just whether it's school board, maybe people have been thinking about how do I influence. I just pray you give them strategies for their community, and that they just say yes, and that let you do what you're going to do and work at all the details. So just, we love you, Jesus. Thank you so much for what you've done in our lives. And I just want to impart, you know, any lessons we've learned. I just pray a blessing and impartation over everyone that's listening today. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you. Sherry Silk. And again, lovingonpurpose.com.
Thank you for listening to the Dare to Believe podcast, where we dare to believe God for all that He said He will do. For more information about upcoming events, check out our website, daretobelieve.info. That's daretobelieve.info. And if you like what you heard today, please subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. Thank you, and have a great one.